Hello everyone, and welcome to another little podcast story. Or should I say, a late podcast story. So I never seem to get round to do these things as often as I should. So basically I'm a one-man band here, and I'll have to do everything myself. I don't have anybody recording, editing, or doing all the bits and pieces behind the scenes. And that's nobody's fault, bar my own. It just takes ages, and I have other stuff to do. So that's the reality of podcasts and camping and all that. Sounds like I'm complaining already, so I do apologise for not putting them out regular. People have messaged, and I do appreciate that, to see when I am putting these podcasts together. So here I am, with a podcast. Anyway, with all that out the way, let's begin. So grab yourself a coffee or a cup of tea, kick back, and let me tell you all about a wild camping adventure on a beautiful mountain called Sleoch. You can pause the podcast here to sort your coffee. So just like every adventure I go on, there's an element of planning. And for those who are not into wild camping or that type of activity, then here's what's involved. First of all, who am I going with? And on this occasion, it was my daughter Charlie and our dog Harris, who is a border collie and is a big softie. Then was our time off. So when we were both available to take a couple of days off to go camping. Then we discussed the place we wanted to go. And that can range from woodlands, hills, forests, beaches and mountains. I had mentioned a couple of places to Charlie where we were quite fancied to go, and there was one place that I'd always wanted to climb, and that was the mountain called Sleoch. A mountain I had a great view of when I bikepacked the North Coast 500 and I stopped in a local car park opposite Sleoch last year. I looked over and up to this amazing mountain, thinking that is absolutely fantastic. I would love to climb to the top of that and wild camp. So from that day, I'd always had it on my climb list. Fast forward to August 2024. This was going to be our chosen adventure, and that was to wild camp at the top and hopefully catching some sunrises and a sunset, if we could. Sounds perfect. So I had packed all my things for the night's adventure. Plenty food, water, clothes, waterproofs, camera, and of course the drone. This was near perfect, apart from one thing. You just can't do anything about the weather. And the forecast was awful. And when I mean awful, I mean a yellow weather warning. Absolutely terrible. You can never tell how bad a yellow weather forecast can be, apart from the clear word, yellow warning. You kinda downplay it. I think because we spend so many weeks sorting time off, so we had to do something. We left Edinburgh at 6 a.m. to miss all the traffic and headed on a long drive. And I mean a long drive. Sleoch is 980 metres or 3,210 feet and is situated on the banks of Loch Maree in the western Scottish Highlands. We passed through Stirling and headed through Glencoe and on to Fort William, where Charlie needed a new pair of walking trousers. Stopping a few times for coffees and stretching the legs, and also being stuck in traffic jams on the rural roadworks. This all set us back quite a bit. The nearest village was called Kinloch U, a lovely little place where the Cape Wrath Trail route passes through. Just a few hundred yards out of the village is a small woodland car park where we pulled up to and where our walk would start. On looking out the car window, the trees were showing it was very windy. Nothing we can do about it, and at least it wasn't raining. Yet. But that wasn't far away. Getting out the car, we sorted our rucksacks and all what we needed for our wild camping adventure up Sleoch. It was actually such a nice little spot to camp. And if you're ever up that way, you should definitely park your camper for a night in this little car park. All ready and waterproofs on, we set off to join the start of the path. The vast mountains around us were very impressive and great to look around. The path was good walking on so far and would take us along to the bottom of Sleoch to start the climb. I didn't realise that this path from the car park to Sleoch was a few miles long and it took a long time to get there. Path was good in places and also very churned up from the cattle that were in the area. Passing through a few small sections of water that was running off the hill and the rain poured down on and off. So actually, it was a bit of a slog to get to the bottom. Eventually reaching the main wooden bridge crossing a torrent of water running off the hill. That was really wild, but very nice to see, and the force of it coming down made such a noise. Crossing the bridge, we started to make our way up the small track, which was the path. I was using OS Maps as backup, but the path was pretty clear, most of the way anyway. Charlie and Harris were doing grand. The weather had been harsh for most of the walk along, but we were dry and we were happy. The climb was gradual and we stopped every so often to look back and take in the views, which were amazing, and we could see for miles. Looking over to our right, the roaring sound of water was really loud, and through the trees we moved our stance to get a clearer view of the most powerful waterfall I think I'd ever seen. The massive torrent of water thundering over the rocks and letting nothing stand in its way, which thinking about it is a pretty terrifying thought. Spectacular to watch and visually see how powerful it made all the worse by the narrow river that was forcing so much water down it from the surrounding mountains. After a short time watching this waterfall, we headed off again up the path, which had a small stream flowing down it now with all the rain. Hoods up, we set off battling our way through the rain. You may think everything was pretty smooth running by the sounds of it, but we did leave Edinburgh very early on, and after a long drive here and straight into climbing, so I did have to admit I was feeling it in my legs and I was tired. I kept looking back, or should I say behind me, asking Charlie how she was feeling, because I was feeling it, she must have done too. Charlie is a strong wee lass, and she said she was fine. And as the mountain path got steeper and steeper, and less of a path, and in some areas it virtually disappeared, I found myself asking Charlie more often if she was okay. It's a dad thing, that's what we do. When we're out in the hills with our kids or family, just to check in with them that all is good. The further up we went, I was conscious of time and feeling a bit fatigued. The weather was a good mixed bag of sun, rain and winds from all directions. After all, it was a yellow weather warning. Many times we said there was a flat section over the top, which never appeared, until we reached a vantage point. And at that point was the start of some easier walking. I really do think we totally underestimated this walk. The height, the weather, and the drive to the location. All these factors were niggling me in the head, and so since time and fatigue were the most important, I took the decision that we should find a place to camp up. After I said that, it felt like the pressure was off to struggle to the top. And on that, I would have said it was probably a good couple of hours more to get to the top, and it was already somewhere near 6:30 to 7:00 at night. So here we are, walking over the first main section, probably about 500 or 600 metres in height, which doesn't sound too high, but after taking in the elements of the day, it was a tough one. With the rain and wind picking up and feeling tired, it was not a rush, but more let's find a place to camp pretty soon. We had a wander around for 5 or so minutes, looking at the ground. It was clear that so much rain had fell, the ground was soaking wet and like a sponge. In the dry, this place would be great to camp, but it was absolutely soaking wet, which didn't help. We managed to find a little patch that would take the two tents, and from then I thought, let's get Charlie's tent up first, so she can get herself out the wind and the wet, get the dog inside and herself, and get her kit sorted out. Charlie's tent was the little OEX Fox 2, a great little tent, and it's a nice size for Charlie and her dog, Harris, along with her rucksack. With her tent up, I left her to it, as there was no point in her helping me, so I had the OEX Bobcat 1. I love this little tent. It's compact. Yes, it can be tight, so you don't have much room for bringing any extra unnecessary kit, which is a good thing. It sleeps one and has a little vestibule area for your boots, rucksack, and for cooking. And it doesn't take long to get this tent pitched. I had a little small window to get my tent up and all the kit sorted. And by kit, I mean getting the air mat blown up, get my sleeping bag out, my night clothes ready, food out, and the stove ready. All done before the rain starts again. With the two tents up beside each other and the rain holding off, it was time to get some food on the go. I was having a pasta with a sauce mix, and Charlie was having a freeze-dried meal. Before we'd done all that, I put a pot of hot water on to get a cup of tea and get some heat into us, which went down perfectly. The reason I made the tea first was that the pot would be soon boiling my pasta and the sauce mix together, so I'd just have to clean it out. So it's the silly things that we think ahead of. The clouds were low and skiffing the tops of Sleoch, making our decision very worthwhile. You see, I feel like I'm trying to justify my actions about stopping, but I think this is where a lot of people fall. They are so adamant about reaching the top of somewhere and totally disregard safety. I love my wild camping, and I will wild camp anywhere. Many times I've been out and plans have changed due to weather, or finding a better spot, or even not getting to a location. It doesn't bother me one bit. Yes, it can be annoying, because you had a goal, but ultimately, safety and being responsible is pretty much it. With the stoves on and the gas creating a nice heat around the hands, the water was boiling for my pasta, which doesn't take long to cook. Soon the sauce was added in, and about 3 minutes, my dinner was ready. Charlie had hers sorted, and the water was cooking away in the freeze-dried meal bag. The timing was good. Spots of rain were yet again falling, and it was getting colder, so the meals were perfect. I think pasta is the main go-to meal. It's quick to cook, and has a variety of sauces, and you can add anything to it to bulk it out. It went down well and warmed us up. With the pots washed, rubbish away, we chatted for a bit and had some light bites as the cold air crept in. I was getting to that stage where the warm bed clothing was needed. Charlie had her hot water bottle, and so while she was getting changed, I boiled the pot, filled her hot water bottle for her, which was really needed. With her all cosy and tucked up in her sleeping bag, with Harris laying beside her on his blanket, it was time for me to get changed and get into my sleeping bag. The Bobcat doesn't have much room to change or manoeuvre in, so it's not the most ideal tent that way. Anyway, feeling rather sleepy and needing to get myself comfy on my air mat was next. Tent zipped up and the wind blowing, and Sleoch looking amazing as the dark fell. It was time to call it a night. If you're not one for camping, it's a great feeling when you're in your sleeping bag, feeling warm, and it's dark, and you hear the wind blowing outside, and knowing you are possibly the only people up on the mountain at that point. So we had such a long day. We were fed, watered, and in our tents, keeping warm, and now hoping for a good sleep. Morning. I arose about 6 a.m, unzipped the tent slowly to let the morning fresh air fill the tent. It's a rush that hits you in the face and wakens you up. Rubbing my eyes to the morning, it had been raining on and off most of the night, so the ground was soaking, raindrops still on the tent, but the wind had died down, which was good. The cloud was low and floating gently between the glens in the distance, which was awesome. The clouds look overcast, way up high, and Charlie was already taking photos. I got out my sleeping bag, changed into my walking gear and my boots, and eased myself out of the tent, along with a few moans and groans added. So on that note of getting changed, my tips are, when you're in your sleeping bag at night, I put my worn socks in my sleeping bag, along with my top and my trousers. If they are damp in any way, the heat from your body all night will dry them out. It's a better method rather than leaving them in a pile at the bottom of your sleeping bag or at the side, and that would just mean putting them on in the morning all cold and damp, and it's not a nice experience. I've been there many times. Stretching, I stood up and turned around to face Sleoch and smiled with a thought of relief. Sleoch was heavily covered in low cloud, which we wouldn't have seen a thing if we had camped up there. From where we were camping, we had a fantastic view of the backside of Sleoch, which was looking awesome, but definitely relieved we were not up there. So to all those who punish themselves for not getting to the top and things don't go to plan, just don't be so hard on yourself. Just change the goals to suit what's going on. We had a great view of the mountain ranges, which were pretty spectacular. Chatting with Charlie how we slept, she had a great sleep and was a little chilly during the night, and mine was broken laying on a slight slope, so I kept waking up, and also I was a little chilly. So you can tell the temperature is changing, and so are the seasons. Harris was a happy lad, and he had slept all night, happy to see me in the morning with his wagon tail. Now we had taken in the morning views, it was time to get breakfast on the go. A cup of coffee was needed, the Nescafe 3-in-1 sachet. If you've never used it, it's a great little thing. I do like them, and it saves a lot of space in my rucksack, and are less of a slitter to use. Breakfast was on Charlie this morning, which was great, and it was a porridge styled oats with blueberries and vanilla muesli from Real Termit Foods. The instructions were pretty straightforward, but like most of these freeze-dried meals, they are in a few different languages. So you're scrambling all over the place, followed by tear here, fill here, mix this, mix that, leave for 5 minutes, and add water and mix again. It can be a pain and a bit overbearing to do. I wear glasses, and when there is an abundance of info on the back of these meals, it can be a bit hard to keep up with. Anyway, luckily this meal had a couple of simple ones, so adding water to the mark should be simple, right? Filling to the level with boiling water and leaving for some 5 to 7 minutes. This time allows us to start squaring away some things, night clothes and sleeping bags, etc., just making things a little bit tidier and less mess. With my stomach rumbling, I opened this tasty sounding breakfast and mixed it up. It didn't actually look too appealing, but a lot of these things never do. Stirring it about with my spoon, it looked like I'd added too much water. I mean, how can you go wrong with these foods? Yeah. Lesson learnt. Taking a spoonful of more water than oats into my mouth and letting my brain make a few decisions. I think with most of these foods, it's the first couple of spoonfuls until you realise that is not great. The problem I had was too much water making it pretty watery. There were very little blueberries in this meal, and the ones I did see were so small. And finally, vanilla for breakfast taste is not on my menu. So because all these factors were going on in my brain, I decided no. So I didn't have anything else to have for my breakfast, so I took a few spoonfuls more before I said enough. Rolling it away, I sorted water for boiling and made another cup of coffee. Charlie seemed to get on with hers a little bit better, but I don't think we finished them completely. The meal itself would have been substantial and the portion size was good, if you like that sort of stuff. But for me, I will continue to chase that all-important breakfast. Or is there actually such a thing? Coffee in hand, we took in the views as the clouds zipped past, and I felt it was brightening up a little bit. Because the weather had settled, it was a good idea to take advantage of that and get the tents down and pack everything away. That was an opportunity to take things out and pack them away properly while we had no rain. We got the inside of our tent sorted, put into the rucksacks, and then I helped Charlie take down our tent. Using a spare cloth, it's always worth giving the tent a wipe to get as much water off it as possible. Pegs pulled out, poles away, we held up the tent and gave it a final shake and folded it away. It was still damp and some dirt underneath it, but that's just normal. Charlie all packed up, we took the bobcat down and done the same routine. The tents can get properly dried out at home on the washing line, but for now, they were as good as we could get them. All packed away, the rucksacks were up on our back, as it was windy but not raining, so you can't have it all. Harris was up and keen to get going, but he probably was wondering where we were going to. We had left no trace, as we should do all the time. It's not really that hard to do. Just take your rubbish home. Although the wind was still pretty strong and it wasn't raining, so we got ourselves together and set off. Reaching the main path from our camping spot, we made our way slowly down, and I have to say, it was pretty bad. The water had dislodged many rocks and stones, so taking our time was priority, since many accidents are caused by the excited walker trying to get off the mountain as quick as possible. The sun was coming out as the clouds sped by in the wind, which was nice, lighting up all the mountains around us. We did stop a few times to take in these stunning views, since we didn't get to the top. At one point, the wind died down enough to get the drone up. So if you haven't seen the YouTube video of Sleoch, then you will get some really nice footage. Passing a couple of people heading up to the top, we got back over the bridge, still with a heavy flow of water coming off the hills, and still epic to see. Heading back along the path, the heavens opened up with a downpour. It was again a long walk back to the car, to the small woodland, passing cattle as they had churned up the track even more with their hoofs, and it was pretty bad. The small woodland was now in sight, which to wild campers, hill walkers and outdoor folk is a welcome sight to see. Seeing that always gives you that little bit of energy. Through the gate and reaching the car was perfect timing, as more rain was in the air. We had some snacks and fresh water in the car, so made use of that while we got the waterproofs and boots off. So this was our adventure wild camp on Sleoch over, and it's time to give you a little summary of it. So overall, I enjoy all my wild camping adventures, because that's what they are, adventures. wherever I go, and however it turns out. Our adventure on Sleoch was hugely underestimated, and for these reasons. The drive to Sleoch was so long that we got there in the afternoon, so to get the best chance and take your time, we should have been there in the morning. The path from the car park to the bottom of Sleoch was such a long way, and underestimated it, so more research on that would have been useful. The yellow weather warning, we should have had a plan B and a backup plan, but we didn't. Because of the early start and the long hike, we were tired and fatigued quickly, so we were pretty low on energy. Charlie and Harris enjoyed it. Well, maybe not Harris as much. It was a really nice wild camp with my daughter Charlie. As always, it's great to make memories, and that's what it's all about. So just want to say, big thank you to Charlie and Harris for making this adventure what it is. Finally, thank you to everybody who listens to these podcast stories. I don't big them up, and it's pretty much how the video is. So if you want to check the video, it's out on the channel. And if you feel like you want more of these, you can subscribe and like and share. Camping on the Wild Side is also on Instagram. We're on Facebook. And we're now on TikTok. Thank you to my YouTube membership fans. You can join and help the channel make more videos for only 99 pence a month. What a bargain. All details are on the YouTube homepage. Also, thank you to my Patreons who help this channel. I am grateful, so thank you very much as always. Any music that's added to this podcast is from Epidemic Sound. I have a merchandise page on the homepage on YouTube, so you can check that out if you quite fancy having a look. Anyway, now to end this podcast. I'm Steve, and you've been listening to a podcast story for Camping on the Wild Side. Until next time, cheers for now.